Parshas HaChodesh is always the last of the four Parshias. It's always either on Shabbos Mevorchin of Chodesh Nisan, or it is on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Nisan itself. This week it's Shabbos Mevorchin, this Shabbos, Parshas HaChodesh, and Rosh Chodesh Nisan is on Sunday, the day after. So the first thing comes to mind is, in the time that we've got available, which Haftorah we're going to line. We've got Haftorah of Parshas HaChodesh, we've got Haftorah as well of the Sedra, and we've got the Haftorah of Mocha Chodesh. So which one are we going to align? Today is Parshas Pekudei, it is Mocha Chodesh, and it's Parshas HaChodesh. So which one would you expect to line? Which one of the Haftorahs would you expect to line? Why HaChodesh? Is it Mocha Chodesh Todir? No. Is a Mocha Chodesh occurs more frequently than...
Yeah, but if you only do one...
Exactly. Oh, that's the point, right?
Somebody would add one possible.
Oh, we're going to say that. That Todir V'Sheina Todir tells me Adin in Kadima. Todir is Koidem. If you're doing two things, then you do the Todir before the less Todir. But if you're only doing one Haftorah, then the rule of Todir doesn't apply. Nevertheless, as Shimon just mentioned, there is a minig in some places, so we will be lining this week the Haftorah of Parshas HaChodesh only, but there is a minig in some places that they add psukim, one or two psukim, sometimes the first posuk and the last posuk of the Haftorah of Mocha Chodesh, lining after, but the problem there is that, for instance, in those places where they line with a klaf, the Haftorah of Parshas HaChodesh is in Yechezkel, and the Haftorah of Eyoim Elo Yehoinos HaMocha Chodesh is in Shmuel. So therefore, they're going to have problems, yeah? Well, even if you're using a Nach, if you're lining from a Sefer Haftorah, so you're lining from a Chumash, then you'll find the two probably printed together. But if not for that, if you're going to actually line from a Klaf, or you're going to line from a Nach, from Anach, okay, you can make bookmarks and that sort of thing, it's not so hard. Flying from a cloth is obviously more difficult, you'd have to prepare the two clothim ready beforehand. In any event, the Haftorah Miyat Hashem will be the Haftorah Parshas HaChodesh, and in some places where it's the Minig, there will be a couple of extra psukim of the Haftorah of Mocha Chodesh.
In fact, we're in a quirky calendar period where we don't name the Haftorah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh or Mocha Chodesh for well over a year.
Is that right?
Yeah, because the next Tisha B'Av, the next one will be in the 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
So we won't do Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, we'll do the 3 weeks after. It's about a whole year period without Shabbos Rosh Chodesh.
Really? Interesting. So,
started at the Torah in Northwest London, Sunday, Kaf Gimel Adoro, 23rd of March. Rabbi Eli Pickschlitter, Gebrochts. This week's Torah is sponsored by families Bar and Mochtum, the Fort Simcha Nasum, Eliana Barshatechi, and Alex Mochtum, Nerioi. This chasen will take place in Mitzvah Shem on Thursday. He wrote Sen Shun Abbas, Timon Bisrava Shem Yisilo, the Schus Hashvun, Rachaelim, Bamil Chamok, Shach Zud Rotsen, Bisholim, Bim Heiro.
Amen. Beshus, Kol Hakol Hakadosh Hazeh. I think everybody knows what gebrochts means. It's a German or Yiddish word to mean broken. We're referring to broken matzah. And there are those who are particular not to mix matzah with water. To soak it in water, to cook it in water. And the question is really, where does this come from? Where does this minag or chumrah, whatever it is, what's its source? Because it seems to be very widespread, especially amongst the Hasidic world. But when we start looking through Shas and Rishonim, we don't seem to find anything. And it's a subject which some people get very emotional about, both sides of the camp. I mean, in my own close family, years ago when the winds started blowing in from the east, and certain ones were particular to adopt this minhag and others were not, my brother actually said to my parents, if I don't get my Kneidlich soup, I'm going to go to Auntie Frieda's house for it. So where is it from? If you look in halachas Sfarim like Sidur Pesach Kilchosot, no mention about it at all. We don't find it amongst the Sfaradim. All right, the Ashkenazim have their own dinim about kidneys and so on, but where do we find the source about gebrok? It's become so widespread that now you get the hotels advertising non-gebroks. This is considered to be the Simchas Yom Tov, even though you are refraining from various foods for Simchas Yom Tov. And surely, if this Gebrok is such an issue, then surely someone somewhere would have written in the early poskim about Korech, because in Korech we mix the matzah with the lettuce, and you have to obviously clean the lettuce and wash the lettuce, and the lettuce is wet. So you put it with the matzah, Korech, but do we find anywhere from the time of Hillel, the Yeshel, Hizayah, one should be careful, Shachazeres Yeh Yovesh, okay, one can dry the lettuce, and there are people who do, but why wasn't such a thing ever mentioned? And not only do we find nothing about it in the Shas or in the main Rishonim, but we are even told that it's okay. Because explicitly the Gemara says in Pesachim, Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, Tana Rabbono, Eilu Devarim She'ein Boim Lidei Chimutz. These are the substances which can never become chometz. And the first item listed is Ha'ofoi, something which is already baked. Matzah is already baked, it cannot become chometz. Whatever you do to it, it's already baked. There are other things listed there, but we won't have to go into those. Rashi says, Ha'ofoi, Lechem mishenefe kol ma shishiru b'maim einu machmitz. The bread, the matzah which you put in water, cannot become chometz. So not only do we find no mention of this chumrah, but we find the opposite, that indeed there is no problem with it. And this is brought down in the Rambam, Hilchos Chametz HaMatzah, Perek Hei, Halacha Hei. And if you bring it down to the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Cairo, Arachaim, Siman Tov Samach Aleph, Sif Dalet, Yosef Odom HaMatzah Shuruya, that when you do your mitzvah, when you perform the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah on Seder night, you can fulfill the mitzvah with Matzah Shuruya, with Gebrok Matzah. V'hu Shalo Nimuches, provided it hasn't dissolved properly, because if it's gone into little pieces and so on, then it's lost its identity and appearance of Matzah. If you cooked the matzah, then you're not yotze your mitzvah of achilas matzah, because cooked matzah has a different din. It's not matzah anymore. But that's not to stop you cooking it. You can cook matzah, but not for your mitzvah. It's a handy hint for those who are having Shalosh Shudos on Erev Pesach this year, which falls on Shabbos, that if you eat Kneidlach, you've got something from the Chamesh Aminim to fulfill your mitzvah of Shalosh Shudos, certainly, whether you make Shosh for Motzi over Matzah Mevusheles, that's another question. But there is this idea that you can eat the Kneidlach for your Shalosh Shudos. The Taz says, the fish in Isbatel Tam Matzah, that with cooked matzah you've lost the taste. Okay, so you can't fulfill the mitzvah with it. But that's not to say that you can't do it just for a nice dish during Yom Tov. And the Mishnah Berurah himself says in Tovnum Chesiv Ketam Dalud, Levashel Matzos Ein Chimotz Acha Afio, that after baking there is no chometz.
Is it no chashash because sometimes it's not baked properly?
Yeah, we'll come to that. Yeah, so those who are keeping to this minhag will say that there may be a piece of flour which is not baked properly, and therefore flour mixed with water can become chometz. That's the chumrah. I'm not disputing that, but we want to know that if there is such a widespread custom, is there a source for it? And so far, we can't find anything. Indeed, if you look in the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Mem on the base, it talks about Rav Popper here that was talking about the house of the Resh Galusa. He allowed the servants to cook a dish called chassisi. What is chassisi? So there's a machlokes to show him what it really is, but most, including the Rif, the Ritva, the Rosh, and others, say this is matzah meal. It's ground up matzah. And it was being cooked. And Rava there in the Gemara is not very happy about what was going on. Why? Because he was worried about Maris Ayin, that people might think that what they're cooking is flour and is not matzah meal. But nevertheless, the Gemara there says that Rava made it for himself. He wasn't happy about the servants who we can't always rely on, that maybe they make mistakes. But for himself, Rava cooked and ate chassisi. And says the Rif, Dova ofoi, Einu machmitz afuyo shetoichlin oso umavashlin oso b'mayim. Baked matzah, which is ground up and cooked in water, that is the Rif's definition. And the Ritva says something similar. He says, the afuyo shebishlu muta v'afilu lechachila. It's not a b'dieved. It's perfectly all right. V'lo gozrinon b'miyot. And we don't make a gazer about it, that the servants might switch and there might be a mistake being made. So what is the source? There was a Rishon, not a very well-known Rishon,
from Mainz in Germany called the Ravan, Rabbi Lezer ben Noson. He was born in the 1090s. In fact, he refers to the Crusades in 1096 in his town of Mainz. And he says, regarding matzah, which is cooked, baked matzah, which is cooked, which many do, and they make farfel, he says, Eino bot lidei chimutz v'shari, does not become chomitz, and it's allowed. Then he says, v'yesh, but there are some people, she'einon rotz in hashro samatzon, ba'layla horishon, there are some people on Seder night, who do not want to put the matzah b'morok in their soup, right? Because kiro avosei and shekain osu, they saw their parents, their grandparents doing this, that they would not put matzah in the soup. Usavurin, and they had the thought that this was because mishum delo tachmitz osin, that it shouldn't become chometz. He says velohi, that's not the reason. The reason why people on Seder night used to refrain from putting their matzah in the soup was because mishum shei tam matzah b'fihem, in order to retain the taste of matzah in their mouths. And that's not just from the afikoman, but from the chavivus of the mitzvah to eat matzah and to have the taste continuing in your mouth. Kol halayla horishon. That is to say that they would not put the matzah in the soup on Seder night. Why? Is because you wanted to keep the taste of the matzah, and if you put the matzah in the soup, you'll lose the taste of the matzah. That's the Ravan. So he has not yet actually spoken about the chumra which we know about, but this is already the start. And his grandson, the Ravior, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yoel HaLevi, he was the grandson of the Ravan, he was a Talmud of the Rosh, and he was also from Germany in Bonn. He quoted his grandfather, and he says, Avol b'sheyimei Pesach, shori. On other days of Pesach, outside Seder night, it's perfectly allowed to cook, to put the matzah in the soup. But there are some who are machmir, delo liseli mitoy, because we don't want people to confuse the matzah meal or whatever with flour. The chumra shel bar nefeshi, and that is a chumra for those who want to be very makbid. So that is the Ravior, but the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karo, ignores this. He brings down in Tov Samach Gimel, Sif Gimel, but matzah fuyo techuna muta. Anything ground with matzah is allowed, mutzah levashel, v'lo chashinon, and we have no problem with it, duma osi lachlufei bekemach. This earlier concern expressed that there might be a switch made with flour, we don't worry about that, it's not a problem. The Pri Chodosh talks about this, and he quotes the Knesset HaGdolah. The Knesset HaGdolah, who writes on the Beis Yosef, speaks about a woman who was seen going to the Rebbetzin's house, and she saw the Rebbetzin frying fish with matzah meal, and she thought it was flour. So she goes home and she starts frying fish herself with flour, and her husband comes home and says, Gewalt, what are you doing? This is out of order. You can't do that. She said, but I saw the Rebbetzin doing it. And he goes round to the Rebbetzin's house and discovers it was just matzah meal. So the Knesset HaGdolah was worried, Yesh Losa Mishum Maris Ayin, that maybe there's a Maris Ayin involved then. When you see somebody frying fish with matzah meal, they might think it's flour. So Maris Ayin, they might copy it and do the wrong thing.
And is potato flour not Maris Ayin?
Well, that's another subject, but potato flour is not part of the Gezerah of Kidneyers, and hasn't got the same texture and consistency as flour. But if you want to be machmir, I'm not stopping you, but you're welcome in my house where you'll be served it. So the Pri Chodosh says, I don't follow this ruling of the Knesset HaGdolah. Vani omer shakol mutar min hadin. It's all allowed. We're not going to make new gezeros. We're now talking, we're in the Middle Ages. He died in 1695. This is not the time when we start making new gezeros. It's not right. If there was once one woman who made a mistake and copied another woman, are we going to make a new gezera just because one woman made a mistake and switched matzah meal with flour? That's not a reason for a new gezera. And besides, that there's a question about Simchas Yom Tov. If you are refraining from various foods, then you are diminishing your quality of Simchas Yom Tov. The Olas Shabbos brings the Bach in Tov Nun Gimel. He says, ideally, matzah should be baked before Pesach, so that the chometz, if there is chometz inside the matzah, it will become bottle.
Well, there's questions about Chose Venir, and we won't go into that. But he adds that anyone who is concerned should not cook a baked matzah on Pesach. So he's not worried about soaking, only cooking, right? But he's questioned by the Magen Avraham that this is not really a valid claim. And he says, Divrei Ha'olas Shabbos Tamuim. I find the words of the Olas Shabbos astonishing. And the Machasis HaShagel talks about this, that the din is with the Magen Avraham, that we don't have to worry about any matzah which is cooked. Nevertheless, the Machasis HaShagel does say, he does say, that lif'omim, there may be sometimes kemachu be'emtza ha'matzah mibifnim, so there may be a chumrah not to eat that matzah. So where does the chumrah really come from? Where does this practice apply? And then we come to the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, commonly known as the Baal HaTanya. And he is regarded as the main source for this practice. What does he say? In his tshuvas, which are at the back of his Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Siman Vov, he says, there are some doughs which are not sufficiently kneaded, so any soaking might affect unbaked flour. And he notes that in his time, he saw speckles of flour on the top of the matzah, and he was worried about this. And he refers to the Ari HaKadosh, who said, because Pesach is such a time when we have to be ultra careful, so we will adopt all the chumras of Pesach. This was the derech of the Ari, and he quotes the Ari. He anticipated, though, the obvious question. You know, this was only 220, 230 years ago. What was going on before that for the last couple of thousand years? Why is it suddenly now the Baal HaTanya has to bring out this chumrah that we're worried about some unbaked flour when there was never such a concern for thousands of years? He says, I anticipated this question. Earlier poskim don't mention it. Why? Because in earlier times they spent more time kneading the dough, and nowadays it's done more quickly with less water, and therefore the chashash, which I'm worried about, never existed before but exists now. Nevertheless, he says, on the eighth day, on the eighth day of Pesach, which is Din Midrabanon, Hamekel Meshum Simchas Yom Tov Lo Yifsid, he says that it's perfectly okay, those who keep to this chumrah, to eat gebrok on the eighth day. I remember as a child, I had a friend called Eddie Geller who questioned his parents who are keeping this minhag of not eating gebrok. And he said, surely if you don't eat it the whole 7 days, then you can't eat on the eighth day, because we treat the eighth day just as important with dinim of chometz like the other days. Nevertheless, that is brought out, and the reason is given so that children don't grow up to think that gebrok is chometz. That by having this practice on the eighth day of Pesach, we'll drill through the fact that it is only a chumrah and not a din, hence the idea of eating it on the eighth day. The Chofetz Chaim actually did not eat gebrok, and he was even machmir on the eighth day, but it's written that when he had a guest and chremzelach were being served, he ate with the guest. But chremzelach, in any case, is fried and might be regarded with, as oil, with as meperus, and the real chometz comes about as a result of water. But I'm not discussing now the recipes of chremzelach. So the Shari Tshuva quotes on this. He looks at it, he was Rav Chaim Mordechai Magulin, and he lived the same time as the Baal HaTanya. He lived in Poland. And then in Aruch Chaim Sima Tov Samach, there in Sifkot Yud, he refers to the Bri Chodosh, that there's no worry about this, just because this woman made a mistake with a matzah meal. He says, Ein choshin mazeh, ein onu gligzah gezeros midatenu. We don't create new gezeros. But he says, Sheyesh Anshei Maisa, there are some people who are very conscientious, Shemachmirin al atzmon, they're very particular, and they will refrain. They will have shiruya or mushalas, that there might be a bit of flour left over. But kol ponim, he says, ain't sorich lahachmir. There is no need to be machmir. Because you club. Why? Because that's how you do dip your matzah in your soup. It takes 18 minutes for any flour which might be in it to become chometz. So you dip it in the soup and you eat it within the 18 minutes, so in any case it won't become chometz. All right, you might say, what if the knaidlich were made beforehand and it's more than 18 minutes? But this is a sentiment brought down in the Magen Avraham. Mikol Shekein, he says, certainly to dip it in wine, there's no problem, that's meperus, and with oil, chremzelach,
V'harbe makilin b'kol inyan. Nowadays, he says, the matzos are no longer thick. Nowadays, they're very thin. So there's no problem. So he says, beina machmir and beina makilin, but either way, whichever way you go, elu v'elu osim kavonim l'shem shemaim, mechuvonim l'shem shemaim, people are conscientious and they want to do what's right. Well, elu libom l'shemaim, provided that your heart is in heaven, koryani v'ameich kulom sadikim. So we have to have a mutual respect. For those who want to have simchas yom tov and eat their knaidlach, one doesn't mock them. One has to have respect. In the same way, we have to have respect for those who wish to be machmir, but one who wishes to sanctify himself with what is permitted, we do not stop him. That's the Shari Tshuva. The Vilna Gaon was very negative about this minhag. So much so, it is said that he displayed a bowl of knaidlach in his window so that everybody could see that he was eating knaidlach, and this is brought in the Likutei Agro, Kuf Pei Gimel, and it's also in the Maaseh Rav, Os Kuf Pei Zayin. There's no worry about it. And why isn't he worried about it? Because even if there is some flour which went in the oven and is not properly baked, there's another din, which is that if flour goes into an oven and becomes roasted, even though it doesn't ferment, even though it doesn't become chometz or matzah, once it's roasted and heated, it can't cause chometz. So there was no problem in the eyes of the Vilna Gaon. Hence he was eating knaidlach soup. Rav Chaim Meloshin actually says that he visited his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon, on Pesach, and his Rebbe was eating knaidlach soup. Now, nevertheless, the Mishnah Berura does say, in spite of saying, Ein chimutz achar fiyo, v'yesh anshei maisa, there are some people, shemachmirin al atzmon, who are machmir, v'ein sharin, v'ein mevashlin. They don't soak and they don't cook matzos because of the chashash, shema nisha, some kemach, there might have been some flour left over, mibifnim, inside, because outside may have been roasted, but the inside may not have been roasted. Shalom l'shiofer, v'yodei, zeh, tischametz, and he refers to the Shari Tshuva, to ein l'chush l'zeh, that there is no problem. So those are the main sources. The Maharshag says that the Chasam Sofer ate Gebrox, and this is brought in the Minhagei Chasam Sofer in section 1025, but there is a Shalas Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, which seems to imply that he was being machmir, and there in Arach Chaim Kuf Lamed Ches, he says that there is such a chumrah, and the Betzel HaChochma, Rabbi Tzalel Stern, explains in his Tshuvas that the reason why the Chasam Sofer felt he himself had to eat knaidlach soup was because his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler, did so. Rav Chaim Kamenetsky ate gebrox, but when he was once invited out to a Pesach meal in Slobodka, and he didn't trust the kashrus of the family he was eating with, he thought he'll make an excuse without embarrassing them, and he said, I'm sorry, I don't eat gebrox. And in order not to be telling a lie from then on for the rest of his life, he took it on himself not to eat gebrox.
Who was that?
Rav Chaim Kamenetsky. So he's quoted. Okay. Rav Yaakov Emden, in the Shilas Yaivatz, quotes his father, there in Chelet Beis Samach Hei, he quotes his father, Chacham Tzvi, that Ein Sorech HaTorah, he says, if you stop the Minag and you start eating a brox, you don't even need HaTorah Snadorim. And there is no problem whatsoever. And he says that the person who refrains from eating gebrox is affecting his Simchas Yom Tov. So he says, Ein lahachmir b'zeh, mishum menias Simchas Yom Tov. You, when you bring up your children, they're meant to enjoy Yom Tov, and they're meant to enjoy the foods. The Chazon Ish says, we have many Gemaras which say that matzah once baked cannot become chometz, and therefore, v'lo chashinon shemo nishabo bet sekshelo nefeh. Apparently, the Baal Shem Tov ate knaidlach, because the Alter Rebbe came after him. The Baal HaTanya came after him, so there was no such chumrah at the time of the Baal Shem Tov. It was the practice of Rav Chaim Voloshin and Rav Chaim Briska not to eat matzah shriya on Seder night because they felt that matzah is lechem oni. We don't want to affect the taste of matzah being a poor person's bread. And that if you enhance it by dipping it in other flavors, then you will spoil the concept of lechem oni. So it's brought down by Rav Moshe Sternbuch in the Tshuvas Hanhogos, Chelek Beis, Reish Gimel. The B'nai Yisoscha notes, and he was Rav Svi Elimelech of Vindinov, he says that gebrox, we keep to the minhag not to eat gebrox, but it is only a chumrah, and as the eighth day is drabonon, we should dafka eat it to show that it's not the halacha, and that the elderly and children who find it difficult to eat, they may wetten, they should wetten their matzah, and that the halacha overrides the chumrah. The Klausenberg Rebbe once was machmir not to eat gebrox, but when he was by his mother and he didn't want to offend her when she served knedlach soup, he said to himself that the halacha of kibud avvaim overrides the minag of not eating gebrox, and you would therefore eat it. Nevertheless, Rav Avigdor Meller said to one of his pupils, who asked them about gebrox, he says, I want you to do Hatoras Nadorim, and now you can go and enjoy Pesach. Rav Noach Weinberg said, we do not accept the chumrah if it interferes with your Avodas Hashem, or if it stifles your joy of Torah observance. So one must be sure, but it's true that nowadays there's such a widespread availability in the shops of different foods that it's not hard to keep gebrox, and if the five-star hotels advertise non-gebrox, and Kosher Kingdom is full of foods, and it's particularly useful nowadays, people who have gluten-free diets, people who are celiac, that they go for the shahakol cakes all the year round. So there was one woman, though, who complained about the price of shahakol cakes. She said, ich bin gebrox von gebrox. In the year 1942, in the Kovno ghetto, a shaila arose regarding gebrox. There was a man there who was in the ghetto called Moshe Goldkorn, and he asked the shaila to the Rav Ephraim ben Dov Ashri from Slobodka, the shaila shuvas mimam akim. And there in Chelek Hei Simon Vov, it talks about how with great effort he managed to smuggle himself out of the ghetto to do with his work and so on, and he managed to bring in flour for baking matzahs. And he succeeded in bringing in enough flour to bake 100 matzahs. Nevertheless, the ghetto was closely guarded by the Nazis, and on the last occasion that he came back with flour, he was searched and they discovered it, and the Nazis were so angry with him that they beat him up and smashed out all his teeth. And his shaila was, I've always kept this chumrah, it's like a neder, that I've never eaten gebrox, but now I can't eat matzah anymore with my teeth, and the only way I can fulfill the mitzvah of matzah is by soaking it, because then I won't need my teeth to bite it. That was his question. So the psak was, you do Hatoras Nadorim, and it's okay. Why? It says quite clearly in Halacha that one can fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with matzah shiruya. But when we bear in mind the Mesiras Nefesh, which some people went to keep to their traditions, to keep to their Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just to keep the mitzvahs, but to keep to their chumras as well. And there's an interesting lesson which comes out from this, which I found in the Meshech Chochmah. And there in Parshas Bo, the Meshech Chochmah talks about how we were zoche to come out from Mitzrayim. He says, the problem we had when coming out from Mitzrayim was halolo avdei avodah zorah v'halolo avdei avodah zorah. Pesel micho. That not every yid was so kosher mahadrin. That they were doing idol worship. So did we really deserve to come out from Mitzrayim? And Bris Mila was neglected when we were in Mitzrayim. So did we really deserve to have the Geula? So he says, the truth is that what happened in Mitzrayim was we were machmir on certain things. We would not change our names. We did not change our clothes. We did not change our language. So by not changing our identity and keeping that distance from the infiltration of Avodah Zorah from the Egyptians, we were zoicha because of those chumras to be brought out from Mitzrayim. He says, by keeping the chumras, we were zoicha to Geula, not by keeping the mitzvahs. And that is why we came out. And therefore, by doing these chumras, if we are conscientious about them, and we want to satisfy all the deinus, and we take into account the views of the Ari HaKadosh, who said that Pesach is something where we want to distance ourselves so much from the possibility or remotest chance of chametz, even though during the year we take batel b'shishim, things can be nullified, we want to be so particular on Pesach that we keep all the chuvras. In fact, the Ari HaKadosh wrote that somebody who is particular on Pesach about keeping away from chametz will not come to be tempted to do Avera for the whole year following. That is how important it is. And when we put that in perspective, because we've got dozens of sources to say that there's no need to keep to this chumrah whatsoever, but where we can respect those who wish to keep to it and those who adopt it, to have a tradition which is handed down to us from the Baal HaTanya and some others, that by keeping to the chumras of Pesach as well as to the mitzvahs, we will be zoche to a gula shalema b'mehav yameinu amen.
Not that you see the most of people, so being